Today we begin the Tiferes Yisrael of the Maharal. Tiferes Yisrael is a sefer which is dedicated to Torah and Matan Torah. And it's part of the series of Svarim which the Maharal wrote. It was actually a series of six Svarim, of which we have three. We don't know if he wrote the other three or he didn't write the other three. We don't know if he wrote them and they're lost or he never wrote them. He wrote Svarim around, he said he would write Svarim around the Pasuk of Lecha Hashem HaGedula VaGivura VaTiferes VaNetzach VaHoid Kichel VaShamayim VaOretz. And the ones which we have are the Sefer Gevura, Gevuras Hashem, which is about Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Sefer Tiferes Yisrael, which is about Matan Torah, the Sefer Netzach Yisrael, which is about Golos and Geula. He anticipated, as well, writing a Sefer Gedula, Chashem HaGedula, about Masa Bereshis, which would be a Sefer focused on Shabbos. He also anticipated writing a Sefer on Hoid, right, on Hoid, which was, right, his goal in the Sefer of Hoid was going to be about Sukkos, where you have, where you give Halal V'Hoidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Kichol Bashamayim of Oretz, heaven and earth, was going to be about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. He didn't, again, we only have the three, we don't have the other three. But the Sefer HaTiferes is about Matan Torah. The choice of the title Tiferes is based openly on the Gemara in Brachas, which darshans, which interprets that Pasuk, various components of that Pasuk, and it says Tiferes refers to Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. And a big part of the Sefer Tiferes Yisrael, a chunk of the Sefer Tiferes Yisrael, is about the event of Matan Torah, but the Sefer largely is about Torah itself and that which is surrounding it, with a special focus on Torah Shebichsav. We learned as our first project in the Shir was a Sefer Ber Hagayla, which is very much focused on the Torah Shebal Peh, on Divrei Chachamim and the Torah Shebal Peh. The Tiferes is focused more largely on aspects surrounding the Mesira, the giving over, and the experiencing of the Torah, and with a special emphasis on the Torah Shebichsav. And there are different sections to the Tiferes. In Rabbi Hartman's Hakdama, he brings a very nice organization of the Sefer, which is, the Sefer has 70 prakim, right, which in the scheme of things, the thesis is that the Maharal, who was very number conscious, chose 70 prakim for the Tiferes Yisrael because of Shivim Panim L'Torah, the 70 aspects to Torah which Chazal spoke of. And Rabbi Hartman there brings a structure to it, which is 8 prakim, 8 prakim, 8 prakim, 8 prakim, and then the last two, 7 prakim, focused on different themes. And the Mir Tashem, we will see them as we go along. We will see the various themes as they go along. What's noteworthy for us is most, to begin with, to start with, because that will revolve very, very much around the issue which he's discussing here in the Hakdama, in the introduction, is that the first 8 prakim are going to deal with Torah as we have it, and the second 8 prakim are going to deal with Torah as a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And really, we must understand that the real koach, the real unique power of Torah, is in providing this bridge between the human being and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or more than a bridge, providing the opportunity to integrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu within ourselves in an open way. It's not simply like in the realm of Midos, of Chesed, where we speak about walking in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where we do things that reflect the values of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is Chanon, we are Chanon. He is Rachum, we are Rachum. But in a sense, we do it on our own, trying to make ourselves into beings that are like the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Torah is a head-on encounter. When we learn Torah, as we're going to learn about later in the Sefer, when we learn Torah, we're supposed to view ourselves as if we are right then and there, standing at Har Sinai, hearing the word from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an act of engagement with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But not like tefillah either, which is also an act of engagement with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tefillah is where you humble yourself, you realize you have nothing, and you're completely dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu for anything, material, anything that you need. Torah is an engagement with HaKadosh Baruch Hu where we have been afforded the incredible opportunity to imbue ourselves with Das Elokim, with the Word of Hashem. It is much more of a parallel experience than tefillah, than avoda, which is not a parallel experience at all. It's a humbling of oneself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, Torah requires humbling. Yes, to learn the truth of Torah, you have to be like Moshe Rabbeinu, Anav Mikol Adam Asher Al Pnei Adama, like Hillel, right? Which we like, who we discussed. We pass him like Beis Hillel, the Gemara says, because he was an Anvesam, because he was a humble person, right? You have to open yourself up to learning the word of Hashem, but ultimately, Torah empowers the human being, dramatically by putting into him the Das Elokim, by putting into him the divine wisdom, not just giving him a gift of continued subsistence, but putting into him the Das Elokim. And that's, in a certain sense, why we would say that it's an interesting thing, it's a ha'ara, it's a note, which both Rabbi Hartman discusses in his introduction, which in the Haskama, in the letter of approbation from Rav Yonos and David on the Sefer, he discusses it in his letter. I was just looking at it last night as well. But it's an interesting thing that we refer, that he called the Sefer Tiferes Yisrael. The Pasuk, which it's all based on, is L'cha Hashem, to you Hashem, is the Gedula, the Gvura, and the Tiferes. So this could be called the Tiferes Hashem, the glory of Hashem, not the Tiferes of Yisrael. Now there's a Pasuk, which people call it, by the way, those who live in the world of Maral call it the Tiferes. They call it Tiferes for shorthand, right, which fits with the Pasuk in a certain sense. But there's a Pasuk of Tiferes Yisrael, the Shlich Mishamayim Eretz Tiferes Yisrael, Pasuk in Echa. He cast down from the heaven to the earth Tiferes Yisrael, which is not expressed in a positive sense, right? That's, it was thrown down to the ground, the glory of the Jewish people. But why does it would refer to Torah as Tiferes Yisrael? But the idea is, again, however exactly you're going to slice it, that's the very notion which we have, which is Hashem sharing His Torah with us is sharing His Tiferes with us. And when it says in the Pasuk, in Dvarim, in Vaeschanan, that Ki mi goy gadol asher lo chukim u'mishpatim tzadikim kol ha'Torah azos asher anochi nosein lifneichem hayom, the nations of the world will say, who is a nation that has such brilliant rules and laws, right? Like this Torah that I'm placing before you today, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu sharing of His Torah with us. He shares of that Tiferes with us. He shares of the glory which accompanies HaKadosh Baruch Hu with us as well. So we become not just partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but sharing in the fullest sense, of that Tiferes, of that Tzelem Elokim, And, just again, one more note, which Me'eretz Hashem will deal with these kinds of things a little bit more later, but we know that the Midah of Tiferes is associated with which one of the Avos? Is with Yaakov Avinu, right? We have Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes. Those are the Midos, like we say them, and we just finished the Sviras HaOmer. Chesed, kindness, is associated with Avraham. Gevura, self-control, is associated with Yitzchak. Tiferes, which is the harmony of the kindness and the strength, the softness and the strength, Tiferes is associated with Yaakov Avinu. The Pasuk even speaks of Tiferes Yaakov. Right? Yaakov is associated with Tiferes. And Yaakov Avinu is also, when we look at the three pillars of the world, Torah, Avoda, Gemilus Chasadim, Avram is Chesed, Yitzchak is Avoda, the Akedah, and Yaakov Avinu is Torah. Torah is associated with Tiferes. Tiferes is Emes. It's the perfect harmony. It's not Chesed, which can have extremes. It's not Din, which can have extremes. It's truth, which is no such thing as extreme truth. Truth is, or it isn't. Truth is perfect. And Yaakov Avinu was indeed, in that sense, considered to be some manifestation of that perfection of Hashem, such that the image of Yaakov is the image which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has before him of a human being, the image on the Kisei HaKavod, on the divine throne. So Tiferes Yisrael is about Matan Torah. It's about the sharing of Hashem's divine wisdom with the human being, such that the human being is able to have it. And there's a lot around Torah to discuss, and the 70 Prakim are packed with different aspects and elements of this. But the first section, as we will have it, will be Torah as it is ours, and Torah as it comes from Hashem. And the discussion which he's going to have here in the Hakdama is about the great importance of forging that link. So we will today, Mirat Hashem, we will focus on the actual Hakdama of the Maral to the Tiferes Yisrael. He begins, V'zayis ha-Torah asher sam Moshe lifnei b'nei Yisrael. This is the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu placed before the b'nei Yisrael. Asher sam Moshe lifnei b'nei Yisrael. So, Maral asks, or notes, that the Pasuk doesn't say, V'zayis ha-Torah asher sam Moshe lifnei Yisrael, or asher nasan Moshe lifnei Yisrael, that he handed over to the Jewish people. It says that he placed it in front of the Jewish people. He placed it in front of the Jewish people, which implies, if you want it, you can take it. That kind of expression is found with some consistency with regard to Torah. Famous language of Chazal of the Gemara, quoted by the Rambam, is that there are three crowns which HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestowed upon the Jewish people: crown of Kahuna, crown of Malchus, a crown of Torah. The crown of Malchus was given to David and his children. The crown of Kahuna was given to Aaron and his children. The crown of Torah is sitting there. Whoever wants can come and take it. If it's given, it implies that there's some specific person who has it. If it's placed in front, then that means whoever wants can come and take it. It's not placed in front of everybody in the world. It's placed lifnei b'nei Yisrael. However, it's not, in that sense, automatic. Even though we also have an expression, Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Moirasha kihilas Yaakov, Hashem, Torah Moshe Rabbeinu commanded us as the heritage, the inheritance of the community of Yaakov, which inheritance is, you know, pretty automatic. It implies some level of automatic giving, but Chazal tell us, no. Torah is not a Yerusha that happens automatically. Moirasha, maybe it has to be given over, it's more of an active form. It's sitting there for somebody to be able to take it. And the aspects of this that we could consider would be the ones which Chazal specifically spoke about when it wanted to speak of this idea of being there to take, which is that there's nobody who has the market cornered. There's nobody who has the market cornered on it. If your name is Soloveitchik, it doesn't mean that you're going to have the Torah, and if your name isn't Soloveitchik, it doesn't mean that you won't. There's no such thing as it being there. Asher Sam Moshe Lifnei B'nei Yisrael, you've got to take it. It won't come to you automatically if you don't work, and it's not excluded from you if you do work. You can always have it. Maral, however, here, and this is in anticipation of what he's going to do in the whole perek, you know, doesn't focus as much on what I was just talking to you about. He focuses on what he considers as the two potential pitfalls that one would have in the realm of the work of Torah. And the two potential pitfalls, the way he identifies them, are that a person could study Torah and make mistakes in the study of Torah. And a person could study Torah and have difficulty, have challenge in being able to share that Torah. Torah is not something which we just learn for ourselves. Lilmai Torah ulelamda. The Rambam counts it as one mitzvah, to learn Torah and to teach it. The mitzvah of limud haTorah in the Chumash is spoken in terms of v'shinantam, v'limadetem, teaching. Torah is not a commodity which we're supposed to learn and keep for ourselves. Always, loymed al menas lelamed. There's no such thing as doing it without. My Rebbe Zichron Levracha, Rabbi Weinberg, used to be medayik in the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos. Kol haloymed al menas lelamed, maspikin biyaday lilmaydu lelamed. Kol haloymed al menas lasayis. So how would you expect the Mishnah to continue? The first one says, if you learn in order to teach, he's given the opportunity to learn and to teach. If he learns in order to do, then what you would expect? He's given the chance to learn and to do. But what does it say in the Mishnah? They learn and teach and observe and do. Why? Because there's no such thing as learning without teaching. Of course, if he's learning, it's al manas l'lam, it's al manas l'asa. So consciously, subconsciously, you can't divide the two. You can't separate the two, one from the other. Loimed al manas l'lam is essential. So there's the issue of learning effectively, and there's the issue of teaching effectively. And I just want to, you know, just show you, we'll so to speak, jump the gun, that what the Maharal is really going to is what's going to be the ultimate perush, which he's going to offer here in this perek, which is on the first one of the Psukei Dezimra, which we say L'Kavod Shabbos. L'Amnatzeach Mizmor L'David HaShemayim Mesaprim. Right? In Yud Tes, Tilim Yud Tes, right? It's a beautiful kapitel where it speaks about the heavens speaking of the honor of Hashem and so on and so forth, but it moves quickly to discuss, from talking about Hashem's greatness in nature, it moves quickly to discuss Torah with seven psukim, which we say, l'minageinu, our minag is that we say them by the seven hakafis of Simchas Torah. The seven hakafis of Simchas Torah. The first one is Tairas Hashem, Temima, Meshivas Nafesh. They're all praises of the Torah. The Torah of Hashem is perfect, right? It calms the soul or it restores the soul. Eidus Hashem Nemona, Machimas Pesi. The testimonies of Hashem are faithful. They make wise the otherwise foolish. Pikudi Hashem Yisharim, the instructions of Hashem are straight. Mesamchei Lev, they bring joy to the heart. Mitzvas Hashem Bar, the commandments of Hashem are clear. Meiras Einayim, they illuminate the eyes. Yiras Hashem, Tahira, the fear of Hashem, right, is pure. Also, Emetus Lad stands forever. Mishpatei Hashem, Emes, the laws of Hashem are true. Tzadku Yachdov, they are justified together. And then, a seventh pasuk, which doesn't mention Hashem's name. Hanechemodim Izov, Umipoz Rav, Umesukim Idvash, V'naites Sufim. They are more Nechmod, which is attractive, than gold and very, very lustrous items, and they're sweeter than honey, and neifes tzufim, which is again also like a sweet nectar. And then, right, so those are seven praises of the Torah, six of them which have the name of Hashem in them. Gam avducha nizar bohem, b'shamra mekev rav. Your servant is careful in them. He guards them very carefully. Shkiyos miyavin ministorius nakeni. And David Amel says, I'm worried. Number one, mistakes, you know, who can discern mistakes? Please save me from, you know, hidden things that I don't discover. And then he says, Gamizenim chaseichavdecha, certainly from not mistakes. You l'rotzein imrei fivi again l'bilfanecha. May what I say be pleasing. Now we're used to saying that pasuk about our tefilos, but David Amelech seems to be saying it about his Torah, that his Torah should be received. So we have these two concerns that David HaMelech expresses at the end of his Mizmor of Torah. One is that he shouldn't make mistakes, and the other one is that his teachings should be accepted. And the Maharal is going to speak about this in this perek, in this Hagdama rather, to the Tiferes Yisrael, about these two aspects. And the first aspect, he goes right away with the Zayis HaTorah Shasam Moshe. One might think that the Torah is such a precious entity and its truths are so essential and critical that maybe it should be reserved. Maybe it should be reserved for those where you can trust that they would be least likely to make mistakes. Should be the province, Torah study should be the province of experts. Reserved for men of the cloth or men of super intellectual capacity, whoever it's going to be. But that Torah should be out there, that we should be out there trying to market Torah, that everybody in the world should learn it. Zayis haTorah asher sam Moshe lifnei b'nei Yisrael. That's the way he reads it in this pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu put the Torah before the b'nei Yisrael. Whoever wants, kol mi sheraitz elitol yom ve'itol. We're not going to be limiting in it. Right? Mi yitein kolam Hashem Navi. And Moshe Rabbeinu said even about prophecy, I wish everybody would be a Navi. I want everybody to be able to have access to Torah. This is a very critical idea which we have Yeretz Hashem, we'll learn about it more, we'll talk about it more. But Torah is that. The Jewish people, the world calls us the people of the book. When literacy was not present amongst the masses generally, in the world as a whole, farmers didn't need to be literate, but in the Jewish world, Jews were always having superior levels of literacy. You know, there's a fellow who did study on Jewish genius. You know, this, I think it was, if I remember correctly, I haven't seen it in years, but I remember correctly, it was the same fellow who was doing those very controversial studies about other people and their perhaps inferior genius. So he did also about Jewish genius, and he went, you know, to look at it and to trace it, and he describes one of the things that, you know, is always the question of nature and nurture, but the profoundly superior level of literacy and intellectual involvement of Jews over the generations. Why? Because Torah was expected to be learned by everybody. Torah was expected to be learned by everybody. And so it's not just, okay, you know, the Jews did it like everybody else. It was an exceptional thing. Many times people indeed reserve knowledge for those who they feel will be able to use it best. But we want it to be out there as commonly as possible. What about the problems of mistakes? What about the fact about maybe it won't be able to be done wrong? Right? Beautiful. So Chazal speak about this. Maral brings the Medrash. Diglu alai ava. Heviani el beis hayayin. He brought me to the beis hayayin, to the house of the wine, to the wine cellar, which yayin is yena shel Torah. It's an allusion to the greatest, intimate secrets of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The diglu alai, and skip over me with ava, with love. So Chazal say, Rabbi Yoina Omer, Shnei Chaverim Oiskim Ba'alocha, two people studying together. Ze Omer Beis Av Shel Alocha. One says a strong ruling. Ze Omer Beis Av Shel Alocha. The other one says one which is not correct. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Diglu Alai Ava. Baruch Hashem says it's okay. We'll skip it. We'll overlook it. We're happy. They're learning. Abimer learned. And then Rav Acha says, Amoret Shekari La'Ava Eva V'Diglu Alai Ava. Right? He mispronounces his words. And he says, "V'ayavto es Hashem Elokecha," which means, right? No, "oyev" and "oyev," easy to mispronounce. A lover and an enemy, so close yet so far. So he reads it wrong, right? Right? As my father used to like to say, right? He had a fellow in his shul once who used to daven, "Shomer Hashem es kol oyhavav v'es kol harishoyim." Hashem guards all of those who love Him. And all of the Rishoyim. Yashmiti las Hashem. He destroys the praise of Hashem. The Pasuk says, Hashem guards all of His love, and that's called Rishoyim Yashmin, and He destroys the Rishoyim. And Tilas Hashem, I should praise Tilas Hashem. But this fellow, he said, Hashem should guard the Rishoyim, and He destroys the Tilas Hashem. So, it could be. We make mistakes. And sometimes the mistakes are mistakes of judgment, like the first person. And the other time, the mistakes are mistakes of simple ignorance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy, right? It's not just the Berdichever, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also happy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, they're learning. Diglu alai ava. They're learning. So what's going to be? What about the mistakes? What about the mistakes? This, of course, is not licensed to try to make mistakes or not try to do things right. But what gives? And listen to the beautiful, beautiful thing which the Maral says here. What bracha do we make on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Asher kedeshanu b'mitzvaysa v'tzivanu la'asayk b'divrei Torah. To involve ourselves in the study of Torah. What bracha don't we make? Asher kedeshanu b'mitzvaysa lilmay Torah. To learn Torah. But rather to involve ourselves in the world of word of Torah. Says the Maral, the choice of that text of the bracha is for that reason. Is for that reason. Now, note, please, especially if you're going to look, the Maral himself here alludes to one other reason. Rabbi Hartman brings in the footnotes, other places in the Maral where he gives two additional reasons. Right? There are several reasons that can be posited in the Maral and beyond the Maral for why the text of the Bruch is this way. But this is the Teich. Listen to this beautiful Teich which he says here. He says, we have the job to study the Torah. Lilmoid, to learn, implies that you actually learned what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. Meaning that you arrived at the emes of Torah, that you arrived at the truth of Torah. Now, sometimes we're zaycha. We merit, we have the privilege to arrive at the truth of Torah with siyata d'shmaya, right? That's a big part of the tefillos that we have. When a person enters the Beis Medrash, what do they daven? They don't daven that they should learn strong. They daven that they should learn true. Right? Shalei koshel b'dvar halacha. I should be correct in my rulings. For that you need siyata d'shmaya. The Gemara speaks about how David HaMelech needed that tefillah so that he would come unto the truth. Everybody needs that siyata d'shmaya to be masik shmaitz aliba d'hilchasa, to be correct ultimately. But our job is to work on it. Is lasik b'divrei sayra. The bracha isn't on lilmaid, on integrating the wisdom into ourselves. The bracha is on the process. Right? The Maral, when he gives the other side, he says, you know, in a more halachic vein, the bracha is on the maisa ha-mitzvah rather than on the taitzoas ha-mitzvah. The bracha is on the activity rather than on the results. Lilmaid is that you know it. Lasik is the work done to be able to get to know it. That you could say, even if the mitzvah is only fulfilled with truth, however. Here the Maral goes a step further and he says, no. Lilmaid would imply that it's only when the result is on the mark. Lasik, the divrei seira is, I'm taking these words of Torah, I'm chewing them around to the best of my ability, wherever it goes, whatever it comes up with, I'm involved in Eisek HaTorah. That's Eisek HaTorah Shasom Eishel Fnei Mnei Yisrael. I said, go, try, whatever you are, whatever your level, work on it, try. That's your mitzvah, that's what I want. Some of you, I have better bets, and some of you have worse bets about arriving at the truth. It doesn't make a difference, I put it before all of you. Work, toil, struggle, study to understand the truth of Torah. So this is one nakuda, which he discusses, which he teaches here, this idea of understanding that the effort. And the second is that we have this issue of yula ratzayni meifi, person giving over the Torah to somebody else. When he's giving over the Torah to somebody else, says the Maral, there, number one, it's even more compelling that the person have truth. For yourself, you know that when a person's learning and they're involved in the process, you could say, okay, look, you know, we're scoring you for the effort. But to give over to somebody else your results, you know, it's much more compelling when it's true than when it's not. And more than that, we also have this idea, this reality, which was again part of the tefillah of Rav Nechunya ben Hakana, which he established before we go to learn in the Beis Medrash, which is that when you're teaching somebody else, so then you have the interpersonal dynamics that get involved. People want to be able to demonstrate how well they know, how well they understand. Rav Nechunya ben Hakana said in that tefillah that in the pursuit of truth, my greatest concern is that I shouldn't want to win, and my friends shouldn't want to win. They shouldn't be happy when I'm wrong, I shouldn't be happy when they're wrong. That this is a battle for the truth, not a battle for personal victory. So in that realm, it becomes even more important and more difficult to be able to teach effectively. So here, as the person is realizing that they're going to learn with the potential of making mistakes, that they're going to try to teach with the potential of not teaching accurately and not even having their words accepted. So how can we overcome these challenges to learning the way we would want it to be? You can tell me from today till tomorrow that you're going to grade me for effort, but ultimately the power of Torah is going to be in ingesting the truths of Hashem. That's going to be the fullest power of Torah and sharing those truths. How can we make it? How can we make it work? Maral, of course, writes this Hagdama, you understand, as it becomes clear in his last paragraph, because here he is. He's going to be positing his theses about Torah and sharing them. He's writing the book. So he wants to have his own frame of reference to be able to arrive at the truth, strength to be able to arrive at the truth, and to be able to share the truth effectively. Says the Maral, there's one simple pitaron, one simple solution to this challenge. And that is to make your learning of Torah the learning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. To make your learning of Torah the learning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. To attribute it clearly to a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're going to learn Torah as a book and not be constantly mindful of the engagement with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then all the risks that we said above exist. But learn Torah with a focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's see what he has to say about this, where he develops this idea, proves this idea, and we'll try to understand it very well. The Gemara in the Midorim says a very famous thing, and a very enigmatic thing. The pasuk Yirmiyahu Anavi says, "Mi yish hachacham v'yavin esayis alma avdo ha'oretz." Who's the wise man who will be able to figure this out? Why was the land lost? Right. So the pasuk says, "Alazvam es teirasi." Right. Right. They didn't leave. They left my Torah. They didn't go in it. So the Gemara says, you know, who's the wise man who will understand this? Like, what's going on over here? I mean, the Gemara phrases its question in its own way. Actually, we'll read the Gemara.
Who is the wise man who understands this?
This matter, they asked the Chachamim, they asked the Nevi'im, and there's an additional girsa which the Bach puts in, which the Maral had, and to the Malachim, and they were not able to explain it. Only Hashem could explain it, as it says. Right? And the pasuk says, Alazam es teirasi, and it continues, Valeshama b'koyli v'leholchuba. So the Gemara says it's all the same. Amrav Yudam Arav, she loybirchu b'tayra tchila. They didn't make a bracha on the Torah first before they learned it. That was the issue. It wasn't Alazam es teirasi that they just simply abandoned the Torah literally, but they didn't mention the Torah tchila. What's the Gemara about? So the Ran explains that, I don't understand. What do you mean? Why did they ask the Chachamim, the Nevi'im, if they left the Torah, if they abandoned the Torah, anybody would notice that. You didn't have to be a Chacham to notice that. The Maral supplements the question. This was said by Yirmiyahu HaNavi, the first Beis HaMikdash. Nobody had a question why the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. If they had a question, they had a question why the first Beis HaMikdash lasted that long. There was Gilui Arayus, Shvichas Damim, Avodah Zarah. The Gemara explains, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed for the most obvious and most horrific sins. The Yehoreg Val Yavar sins were committed regularly by the Jews. So what's the question? Oh, they asked the sages, the Navi, they didn't know why it was lost. What's going on over here? So the Ran says, so evidently there's a subtlety that's at work. What's going on? So it must have been some subtlety, like the fact that they weren't making a bracha on the Torah. But still, you know, okay, that might explain. Okay, it wasn't really they abandoned the Torah, but they did abandon the Torah. Like, what's going on over here? What's this emphasis on leberchu b'Torah tchila, that they didn't make a bracha on the Torah before? Explains the Maral Poshut, simply, that when you make the bracha on the Torah, a bracha is what? A bracha is a bracha of appreciation. When you make a bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, you're saying, oh Hashem, you're blessed for what you gave me. When you make a bracha on a cookie, right, you say, blessed are you Hashem that you create all these beautiful minei mezainas. You make a bracha on a fruit, you say, blessed are you Hashem you create all these beautiful fruit. When you make a bracha on a mitzvah, you say, blessed are you Hashem that you made us so special and you gave us mitzvahs. Right? When you make a bracha on Torah, you say, wow, this is good. It's a wonderful thing that I received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You said Kriya Shema this morning, right? Where you learned the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. How did you say the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? You should love Hashem b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshach v'chol nefesh. You should love Hashem with every fiber of your being. And then, these words should be upon your heart. Torah is coming to us with an appreciation that it was the ultimate gift of love from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yishakeni minashikais pihu. The first words of Shir Hashirim, he kissed me with the kisses of his mouth. Right? That refers to Hashem sharing the Torah. Pe'el pe'adaber bo, at Matan Torah. To feel the gift of Torah as a gift of the love which is coming directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us. As expressed in the bracha, blessed are you Hashem, who gave us the Torah, who commanded us to involve ourselves in the Torah. A bracha is appreciation. It's an expression of love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the gift which He's given us. Not just sitting up and opening the book, sitting down and opening the book. And when the Torah is connected to its source, so then the Torah is going to be strong. If you open up the book of Torah and you study it, if you open up the book of Torah Stamaze and you study it, maybe you'll get it right, maybe you'll get it wrong. But when you discern first that here it is, this is the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you connect it to the source of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you have the greatest protection against having it wrong. You're connected to the source. You're connected to the source, so then the words which you speak are, you're echoing, like Moshe Rabbeinu in his own way, the Shechina midaberes mitaych gerayinai. Hashem is speaking through his mouth, through his throat. This, says the Maral, is the method which we do, as we want to understand Torah, as we want to share Torah effectively. The thing which we have to do to accomplish that most effectively is connect ourselves in our learning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'ava, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way. That's the idea. Says the Maral. So they asked the Chachamim, and the Chachamim couldn't explain. They asked the Nevi'im, they asked the Malachim, they couldn't explain. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could explain. It says, Chachma is wisdom as it exists by people. Nevuah is when, as the Rambam, he uses the Rambam here a little bit, that the Rambam is, right, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks the Malach, and the Malach communicates to the Navi. Right, it's wisdom which is communicated from Hashem's higher forms to people. Malachim is wisdom amongst those higher forms. But all of those, they just have the wisdom as they are. This answer could only be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the Siba, at the source. This is the idea. The idea is for Torah to maintain its vibrancy, it must be there at the source. Says the Maral, that's really the core answer which the Gemara is giving to the whole thing. Of course there was Gilui Arayos, there was Shvichas Damim, there was Avodah Zarah. But how did the Jewish people become so disconnected? How is it that a people who had Torah, how did they become so disconnected? They became disconnected Al Shalei Birchu B'Torah Tchila. Al Shalei Birchu B'Torah Tchila. Because the Torah wasn't attributed to the source. It wasn't connected to its Sibas Hakiyum, to the source of its existence. That's what keeps it going. That's why, Maral says, actually what leads the Gemara into this discussion is, when the Gemara asks the $64,000 question, and what's that? Why is it that Talmidei Chachamim consistently, you will find, that they won't necessarily have children, Talmidei Chachamim? What is it? The Gemara has a whole bunch of different reasons that it gives for this. Why Talmidei Chachamim? It's matzui, it's common that they won't have children, Talmidei Chachamim. We just discussed this in the Netzach Yisrael, if you remember. Right? So one of the reasons, the last reason which leads the Gemara into this is that they're not mevorech b'Torah Tchila. Says the Maral, something which we all have to be aware of. We all have to be very, very aware of. He says, a Talmud Chacham has a special Messiah. special challenge of making Birchas HaTorah. Because the more he sees in the Torah and the more understands in the Torah, the more the Torah looms as a giant phenomenon for itself. And you can forget about the Rebbeinu Shlomo that stands behind it. The Talmud Chacham is prone to losing sight of the God behind the Torah because of the greatness of the Torah itself. You know, Chaim Volozhiner wrote a pulmus. He wrote an argument called the Nefesh HaChaim. You can call it a sefer, but you can also call it an argument. Chaim Volozhiner was a Talmud of the Gra, of the Vilna Gaon, and the Vilna Gaon, as you know, was a warrior. He waged war against Chassidus. This was the origination of Chassidus, right? And the Gra came, and he waged war against Chassidus. And Chaim Volozhiner wrote a sefer called the Nefesh HaChaim, which is not what you would call your normal yeshivish work. It's filled with Zayar and Kabbalah, right? All the things which one would imagine, maybe that's the province of the Chassidim. But of course we know the Gra was a Goyin in Kabbalah. And the Nefesh HaChaim is written in four sections, really to articulate an approach to Avodas Hashem that, so to speak, would, you know, excuse me, this is, I'm also a chassid, okay? So don't worry, this is not a partial expression here, right? But we have all benefited, the Jewish people have benefited from the Gra's influence on the Hasidim and the Hasidim's influence on the Gra, right? Nowadays, we're all one big cholent, right? These two pieces emerged in stark contrast, and then they blended, right? This was the original hybrid without going green, right? So this was, you know, we got the advantages of either. But the Reb Chaim Volozhiner, again, so to speak, beating the Hasidim, so to speak, at their own game, he explained how the things which we do when we learn Torah, it's not a dry intellectual process, it transforms worlds, everything else, right? But he was there, you know, so he was trying to argue against the Hasidim, who very often just wanted to be caught up in the ecstasy of being involved, of touching a Torah. Right? They wanted to be all in the ecstasy of touching a Torah. So taking what the Maral spoke about in the beginning, you know, whether you get it right or you get it wrong, you say V'ayavta, you say V'ahavta, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's happy in any case. Right? So why even bother? And this was part of course, you know, the Baal Shem Tov wanted to expand the appeal of Torah beyond, you know, a higher intellectual class. But then what could happen would be is that what is the core goal in the study of Torah, yes, you're rewarded whether you get it right or get it wrong. What was the core goal, as Reb Chaim Volozhiner explained it, which was to get it right. The goal of Torah, the way he defines Torah Lishma, is to understand the truth of Torah. That's the primary, that's the essential goal of the task of Limud HaTorah, to try to understand the truth of Torah. Win or lose, it doesn't matter, but you have to understand the truth of Torah. So you have to be solid, you have to be real. So forget about this ecstasy. No, said Reb Chaim Volozhiner, but remember, when you're learning, that you're learning the Torah of Hashem Yisbarach. And maybe stop yourself in the middle, occasionally, and remind yourself, this is the Torah of Hashem Yisbarach. Because the tendency is, when you're involved in building this tremendous intellectual edifice and understanding it, you're so involved in serving the Torah and worshipping the Torah, that you can forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, forget it. My Rebbe Zuchen Vach, Rabbi Weinberg, used to be very strong about this. I'll tell you the classic illustration of how strong he was, of how he would express this. He says, people learn during Chazaras HaShatz. Right? They learn during Chazaras HaShatz. Why do they learn during Chazaras HaShatz? It says in the Shulchan Aruch, you're not supposed to learn during Chazaras HaShatz. Even if there's a minion listening to Chazaras HaShatz and saying amen, you're still not supposed to learn during Chazaras HaShatz. So they learn because they want to learn. Right? They want to learn. He says, but tell me something. He says, why do we learn? We learn because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to learn. To get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're learning Hashem's Torah. does it make any sense to try to learn to gain wisdom of Hashem, get closer to Hashem, when Hashem doesn't want you to? So he says, you have to always, you learn when and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to. Otherwise, you're not serving Hashem by learning. You're just going there and trying to satisfy your own curiosity, your own intellectual thirst. And he was, Rabbi Weinberg was a tremendously thirsty intellectual. Tremendously thirsty intellectual. Tremendously thirsty person to learn and to discover. It wasn't, if somebody who doesn't like learning so much, starts rebuking people for learning during Chazaras HaShatz, big deal. They're not so motivated. They don't mind sitting there for 5 minutes and saying, Amen, Amen. they're okay with it. But someone, you can't. You learn when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to, because that's the limud of the Torah Hashem. Says the Maral, that's the key to the success in understanding, and that's the key to the success in communicating. To have it clearly, always focused. Don't lose the picture because of the wisdom and the beauty of Torah. Always realize that what you're trying to do here is to imbue the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as expressed by His sharing His innermost truths, thoughts, and wisdom with us. Always connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the vehicle to that communication is the Birchas HaTorah. Because the Talmidei Chachamim sometimes lost sight of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of the magnificence of Torah, so they didn't succeed in sharing the Torah with their next generation. The Torah didn't continue. It didn't have its accuracy. It didn't have its home. The more it's attributed to Hashem, the more it will continue.
So is the Maharal saying that the intellectual exercise only works sort of cause and effect by when you learn, you have to connect it back to Hashem? Or is he saying that there's a certain mystical Siyata Dishmaya that flows down to you from Hashem when you're doing it right? Or is he saying both?
It's not clear to me which one he's saying. I think both of them could, Kol Zeachnis, I think both of them could be there. There's a greater baseline, so to speak, for accuracy, and there's going to be a greater Siyata Dishmaya. The way he calls it is connection to the source. He says if you have a branch that you clip off of a tree, right, or it falls off and it breaks off of a tree, as long as the tree is still connected to the ground, it'll heal, it'll grow back. Something fell off, it'll grow back. But if it's not connected to the source, right, if you cut off a branch and then you clip off a twig off of the edge of it, it's not going to grow back. Connection to the source of Torah is that which is going to keep the Torah alive and fresh and vibrant. So it won't be lost. So it won't be gone. Right? I told this to you once when I don't remember anymore where exactly it was, but it's a beautiful thing. Rabbi Hartman likes bringing it in his footnotes. He brings it more than once. Right? The beautiful mimer from a footnote where he explains the idea of the lechem cham b'yayim hilokchei, that the lechem haponim remained warm. Right, a week later it was still warm. What was the kunst? So it'll stay fresh. It's nice. It stays fresh. But the idea is, so he says, because ki omar vayeyu tziva vayamid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, and things came into existence. But he also instructed so they would continue to exist. There's not really a difference, right? We imagine that you buy a table, so the manufacturer made it. But once he made it, now it's sitting in your room, it's sitting in your office, and it's there. It's done. Right? It's here. It exists now on its own. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not the way. We know, right? M'chadish b'tuvah b'chol yom tov in ma'aseh bereishis. He made it, and he continues to make it. He continues to sustain it. In the Beis HaMikdash, that was visible. So that there was no such thing as the lechem haponim getting old. It was this moment as fresh as the moment of its creation. That's the manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's the connection to the source. We tend, when we see something in the world, we say, it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but now here it is. To the extent that it's disconnected from the source, it gets old, it withers, it disappears. To the extent that it remains connected to the source, it has all of its original vibrancy and strength. That's the choice we have to make when we study Torah. To to do everything we can to connect it to the source.
Sounds as though there may be a parallel to the mitzvahs, bo lishma, when the Tesla talks about it, that really there are two approaches to bo lishma, one of them proper and one improper. Bo lishma will work, but only as long as you're doing bo lishma with the intention of eventually coming to doing it lishma. That there are those people who do lo lishma and just wonder, well, why are you not getting close to Hashem? It's because ultimately the focus is just more on the lo lishma and doing the action, but without that ultimate goal hanging there behind you.
That you want to get towards HaKadosh Baruch. Yeah. Yeah. Now there's certainly again that idea there, as much as you're going to figure out Kodesh Baruch in the picture, it will help. Now I want to say that there's a flip side too, which Maral doesn't discuss here in this perek, right? But he discusses elsewhere, which is the Gemara which says, "Halavai oisi azavu v'sayrosi shamaru." Even if they would have abandoned me, right? But if they would have held on to my Torah, still, they would be okay. Why? Shama'ar shaboy machzir elamutav. Because the light which is in the Torah would bring them back. The Torah itself is kadosh. The Torah itself is holy and special. Now, that's a Gemara which speaks of the flip side. Decidedly, the people are forgetting about Hashem, but they're involving themselves in the Torah, and there's still going to be a benefit to be accrued to them. And that's for sure true. We're not rejecting that. Right? Well, to some degree, we're saying, how could the Jewish people have gone so wrong? Because they lost the ma'ar of the Torah. Because they lost, the connection of Hashem, le'birchu b'Torah t'chila. So they may have been involved in Torah, but they took Hashem out of it, and then it decreased and decreased and decreased. But they were able to lose hold of the Torah because they lost hold of Hashem. But there is, as long as you're going to hold on to Torah, there is a possibility of that bringing you closer to Hashem. And there could be a shaloi lishma that will bring you. But you want to integrate Hashem into the picture as much as possible. Worshipping Torah as opposed to worshipping Hashem. Ramchal, in the Mesilas Yesharim, has a very important perek where he makes this point. It's one of the most poignant prakim for me of the Mesilas Yesharim. The Mesilas Yesharim is an incredibly intense book. About zehirus and zrizos, be careful about not doing averus, be aggressive in doing mitzvahs, and then going next step, nekius, like beyond careful. Like everything else, chasidus, extra piety, don't just do the mitzvahs right, but even try to figure out what HaKadosh Baruch wants and go extra and do beyond. And then he has a little perek, I think it's the 26th perek, if I'm not mistaken, called Mishkal HaChasidus, weighing piety. What does that mean? So he speaks there about this idea of a person worshipping Torah and not worshipping HaKadosh Baruch. He says you always have to remember fundamentally in every choice you make about serving Hashem that your goal is Oise Nachas Ruach V'Yaisre, to please Hashem. Never forget about Hashem and just think about the mitzvah. Why? So he says, here, look, I'm telling you to be extremely careful about things. So, excuse me, I'm going to give my favorite example. You make a Kabbalah that you are never, I repeat, never going to daven without a minion. I mean, unless it's mamish, in the middle of open heart surgery, right? You're going to daven every minion that you possibly can with a minion, and you're careful about it. And you have a streak that would make Cal Ripken blush. Okay, you have not missed a Shachris Mincha Marav Musaf Betzibur, right, in 11 and a half years, right? Since, 2 years after your bar mitzvah, you have not missed a minion. It's 2:00 on a Monday afternoon, and your wife calls you up, and she says, honey, it started. She has gotten her first labor pains. You rush home, and you're sitting with her. It gets a little faster. Time to go to the hospital. You take her to the hospital. A little faster, but it's still taking its time. And at a certain point, you look at your watch, and you say, it's 7:00.
Mincha is at 8. How do I do this exactly? So first you go to the fellow and say, could you do a little pitocin here maybe? You know, or something like that. Sorry, it's not indicated, right? Okay, so then, you know, like ever so gently, like he says to his wife, he says, you know, would you mind if I just left for maybe 5 minutes to get to the Agoda? Mincha, 10 minutes, you know, maybe I'll even leave after Kedusha, right? And then another 5 minutes back, and I'll probably come tops 25 minutes. It's 25 minutes, you know, I see, yeah, they're coming now. Would that be okay? The person doing the right thing? They're doing the wrong thing, right? But it's a very normal thing for a person doing. That person maybe has this streak, right? And they're driving, you know, across the, you know, they're driving to Chicago. You know, and you know, they have it like thing, and they're to make mincha, they're going to take an hour detour, you know, to stop, you know, in this place and so on and so forth. Meanwhile, by the time they get to mincha time, right, you know, his wife's eyes are bulging out of their sockets because the kids have asked for everything every moment on the trip. They're going absolutely berserk and nuts, and the quicker they get to their destination, the better it'll be for everybody. But he's got to make his minyan. So you got to think, what's going to please HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If you think minyan, I'm going to do minyan, so then you're forgetting about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course you should have Zehiris and Mitzvahs. The whole book is about Zehiris and Mitzvahs. It's about looking at things and trying to understand how best you can do them. But never make them the religion. The religion is always, this is important because it pleases HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And on occasion when it doesn't, I can't lose sight of that. It's a big nisayon in Avodas Hashem. It's a big nisayon in the service of Hashem. Sometimes, as you know, strict adherence to law comes at the cost, we would say in contemporary jargon, of spirituality, of an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Ramchal, never lose the forest for the trees. Always be aware of them all. Says the Maharal over here, this is the key to really getting to the heart of Torah, is making that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so, just so to speak, to close the loop. So he says, that's the idea. First of all, again, that's why you can only find it by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, the idea is to go to the source. That's where you're going to find the response. You're not going to find the answer by the manifestation. So he says, that's the idea. And again, it's not that they didn't make the bracha. Says, well, of course they made the bracha. Right? They mumbled the bracha. They said the bracha, but to have the bracha, to have that feeling of, wow, Ava, Kodesh Baruch Hu, look what you've given me. And so, he says, that's why David HaMelech praises the Torah. Six ways, Torah's Hashem Tamima. Eidos Hashem Nemona. Pekudei Hashem Yisharim. Yiras Hashem Tahira. Mitzvahs Hashem Bo. Everything is Hashem, Hashem, Hashem. He wants to associate it explicitly with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says that in six different directions, right? Because, again, the six, using the you know, the parlance and the approach of the Maharal, is, here you go, we have all these different corners, all these different directions. Mikol Tzad, there are six directions in the world. Left, right, front, back, up, down, right? But everything and all of these, we should see them as all unified, as coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the great bond that is there in the middle. In every aspect, in every way, there's going to be this notion of Hashem, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's in there, that's central to what's happening, that's central to that attachment to Torah. Maral goes on, we don't have to do it, I'm not going to focus on it inside, but beautifully explaining each of the psukim. It's worth it if you have a chance, you know, finish off the perek, if you're using the Hartman edition, starting on page Yud Ches, right, where he explains each one, what it's doing. Teres Hashem Tamima, the perfection of Torah, Meshivas Nefesh. Each one, he explains an aspect of Torah, an aspect of fullness, which is given to us by the Torah. Oh, you mean, well, the Mishnah says that Ein Darshan
right? There's things which you don't teach publicly that you give only to people who are, well, yeah, there are chalokim, there are portions of Torah which are like that. But the Torah as a whole, I just went to my daughter's first grade chumash party. You know, the Torah as a whole, we're mafker it. We want everybody to have it. And sometimes, by the way, of course, you know, we run the risk even in the Torah, because since we give it to them as children, right, sometimes their appreciation of it is going to be still as it was. They forget to grow their understanding of Torah along with their growth and everything else. We forget. By and large, the Torah is open to everybody. Yeah, there are chalokim, chazal, right? What the whole work of the Maharal is on the areas of chazal, where chazal spoke cryptically. Why did they speak cryptically? Because this portion of Torah, they said, you have to be of a certain level to be able to discover what it means. We don't want it to be hefker. Yes, there are portions of Torah which require a certain greater thing because of the risks involved in misunderstanding, which are more obvious and calculable risks, because of the level of engagement with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's involved, that, you know, that requires a certain extra care. But Torah Kamashi, no. Torah Kamashi, we have it out there.
Would be a fair perception of a metaphor to your citing, so Hashem saying, if only, even if they abandon me, we can get my Torah. It's a flip side issue. Would it be fair to perceive that as that branch that had been cut off from the tree or fallen off the tree, that for a certain period of time you can take that branch and replant the branch?
Beautiful, beautiful,
but
beautiful.
After a while.
Beautiful, beautiful. Excellent. I love it. Very nice. Very nice. Yeah? Yeah. Okay. So, So this is the idea that he teaches here, and so he says. So David HaMelech ends this psalm with Shkiyos Miyavin Ministeris Nakeni, and Yulurotzeinim Refi, that the way to be protected as much as possible from these mistakes, which of course, since we understand it's Teres Hashem, it's so compelling for us to protect ourselves from these mistakes, is going to be to attach ourselves to the source of the Torah. And you, Lerotzei Nimrei Fi, that our teaching should be accepted, is likewise going to be with Hashem Tzuri V'Goyali, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu being our rock and our redeemer, with understanding that it's going to be coming from there. So the Maral ends his own thing, his hakdama to his work, Uvechein HaTfila El Misha Einay Mayas B'Shvelim. And so therefore my prayer, or the prayer, the way he says it, to the one who does not disdain the lowly, and doesn't keep distant those who once were, that what I say should be acceptable, and he should teach me the path of truth, and he should strengthen me with his just right hand. Amen. That's his tefillah. He's sharing now, and he wants to share the truth of the Torah, and he wants them to be heard. So he himself wants to lock his eyes on HaKadosh Baruch Hu as he is beginning this work and as he continues through this work. So Tiferes Yisrael. Tiferes L'cha Hashem HaTiferes. And this becomes the Tiferes Yisrael. Right? We are going to gain the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu the more we connect ourselves to him. So that's the...
How do you understand that only this was given to the man's not to the ladies?
That's a question to answer on one foot. The question is a very, very significant question. How HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to do that? Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to do that? We must understand, of course, that as the Gemara says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not deprive women of their chelek in Torah. He just gave them an indirect avenue. They have it by association. They have it by association. Right? The women have it, like Zebulun had it by association with Yisachar. The women have it by association with their spouses, with their children, they can have that connection to Torah. And interestingly, maybe not as politically correctly, but as the Ramban wrote in Parshas Bechukaisai, and if the woman doesn't get married and doesn't have children and engrosses herself in Avodas Hashem, also good. She gets married and she has children, so then she has to make sure not to abandon her responsibilities. Like, nobody can abandon their responsibilities. But he says, you know, the Ramban says they're Bas Yiftach. They cried over her every year, right? The daughter of Yiftach. Remember the story of Yiftach, right? He said, whoever comes out of my house first, when I come back from battle, I'll give them to Hashem. He was expecting a sheep, a cow. He came home and his daughter came out of the house. So what is he going to do? So it says in the pasuk that he gave her a few days to cry over Besuleha, cry over herself, and then he gave her to Hashem. And it says, and every year the women would go out to cry over the Bas Yiftach, cry over Bas Yiftach. Pasuk pshat in the pasuk is that he offered her as a korban. You can ask halachically, how is he able to offer a person as a korban? How did he do this? And so on and so forth. So the Ramban has a halachic discussion about how that was possible. In Bechukaisai, he understands that it's part of the din of cherem. However it works. It's beyond the scope of our discussion here now. Then Ramban cites the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra says, the Ibn Ezra says, he didn't bring her as a korban. She just had to be dedicated to Hashem, so she lived a monastic existence. She became, a Jewish nun. She didn't marry. She dedicated her life to prayer and to the service of Hashem. She lived out who knows where. That's what the Ibn Ezra says, because how could it be that he killed her? Right? It's not Shaykh. When a human being given over to Hashem means a human being dedicated to Hashem. So that's what the Ibn Ezra says. Ramban has some choice words for the Ibn Ezra. Right? But he says, how can you say that? Then that would be making the daughter of Yiftach and all those who mourned over her, what were they mourning over? He used it there like Zainais Lakales Esnan. He says, so she won't marry. She's not marrying because she's dedicated to Hashem. So she's separate from the life of she's dedicated to Hashem. This is the Ramban, what the Ramban says. So, what does that mean? Does that mean that the only path to fulfillment for a woman is having a husband and children? No. Yeah, it's a standard path. And most women would be frustrated if they wouldn't be able to have it. Of course. But it doesn't mean that it's the only path. And that's a very important thing to remember. It's important to remember Stamazai, and it's also important to remember because many times a woman has to wait, or a man has to wait, but sometimes it seems these days much more often a woman has to wait to be able to get married and be able to have that fulfillment. And sometimes she could say, life will start when that happens. So it's not true. It's not true. That would be, you know, the Ramban would have choice words for that. You have so much you can accomplish for yourself and for the world right now. It's not all contingent on that piece. Now again, that doesn't solve the emotional issue, but it's a very, very important focus. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for a man an Ezer, right? There's a complementary jobs that have to be done. Man's job remains the word of Hashem, and that carries, you know, that means we're all doing this together.
Where is that, Rabbi?
Parshas Bechukaisai by Cherem, by the pasuk called Cherem Asher Yerchamu Hashem Minu Adam. Last part of Bechukaisai. It's, I think, maybe the second last Ramban of Bechukaisai, if I remember correctly. Okay, good morning.